Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Ray Allen. Ray is engineering and producing the show on this Thursday, August the 4th, 2016. Hope it's been a good week for you so far. We'll get right into it. We have early ballots. They're out. They're in the mail. People are getting them, already returning them. So the election season really cranked up. We're going to talk with John Winchester. Mr. Winchester is facing incumbent Republican Ally Miller in the Republican primary for the supervisorial district in number one. And the winner of that will face off against the two Democrats who are battling it out, Brian Bickle and Jeff Farrell. John Winchester works as outreach director for the Arizona Center for Judaic Studies at the University of Arizona. He's the proud papa. I just met John, the baby Daniel. What a handsome young boy. Yep, congratulations.
Thank you very much. He gets it from his mother, to be clear.
So the talk of the town and the district is this mailer that arrived in everybody's mailbox a week or 10 days ago with your opponent, Ally Miller, behind bars. what was the thinking behind this?
Well, you know, she's in some trouble at the county with her emails and all of this. I'm told there's a criminal investigation going on with the AG's office, and so the reality is that if this goes as bad as it could, she could end up in prison. And I'm actually less concerned about the scandal and stuff that's happening around that. That's a byproduct of her behavior, the shadow game she's been playing at the county for 3.5 years, the focus. It shows where her focus is. It's not focused on solving problems. It's not focused on fixing roads. She went after Ann Day on that 4 years ago. Roads are statistically worse, probably. Her focus is now playing these games, with people at the county, and now she's in trouble. And I think
voters should know what that's about. But I don't think it's misrepresentative of the facts. Now, if one were to believe everything they read on Facebook and social media, and I certainly hope they don't believe everything they read on social media, but you are, according to some people, a horrible person. You're a liar. You rarely vote. Does this get under your skin, some of this criticism?
Most of it I don't pay much attention to. When it hits home is when they talk about my family mostly. I think that's what they've had. They've been at this really since I jumped in the race in March, because they can't believe that there's somebody out there of any substance that would actually challenge Ally Miller. And where I can't sit back and say, my counter question is that, how do you not find somebody of quality to try to jump in and say, we need to do things different than the way that she's done them? We have to. We have a district in District 1 that is not any better, and you can make the case that it's worse since she's been in office. And the county as a whole, you could make that case. And certainly if you listen to some of the stuff that's on Facebook, you know, the county's is on its way to hell. And if that's the case, how come 3 years of nothing doesn't mean count for anything? It doesn't count for anything. And basically, that's her campaign. She's not going to get anything done. She's promising that because she's in a minority position. She's not going to get anything done. And so they've got to demean me and belittle me and go after me. And as people have been complaining about my family being
in your voting record, they say 9 out of the last 12 elections you have not voted.
It's ridiculous. The only elections I did not vote in were 2010. I was out of the state at that time, but I voted provisionally. But that's what their focus is. And I've got plenty of position pieces out there. You want to talk about the economy? You want to talk about roads? You want to talk about taxes, economic development? Whatever you want to talk about, I have positions out there, but they're not interested in combating those.
Are you contending that Ally Miller has held this economy back when it comes to economic development?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. She is a Republican and a conservative at that. So I believe personally, coming from that sphere of ideology, that she has greater responsibility, and she votes against most of the economic economic development pieces that come from the county. And in voting no, that's great. If you disagree with it, where's your counteroffer? What are you bringing to the table that says this is wrong, we shouldn't do it this way, let's go that way? And so she is an impediment. She is an obstructionist. She's not providing. Nobody can point to a piece of policy that she's offered at the county to say this is the way we should go. No one can point to
it. Is it billed or are her followers blindly following a personality?
I think it is. I think it is. It's her personality. It can't be her record. It absolutely can't be her record. It's certainly not principle. There's no principle here. The standards that they want to hold me to against her, they won't hold anyone else. And so it's not. So if it's not principle, then it has to be personality. And you know, that's fine. She'll have the people that'll vote for her, and I'll get the rest.
Now, going back, give us some examples of how she has, that you believe she has held the county back economically.
I'll tell you this. What doesn't make any sense to me is the Raytheon Road that she voted against. That is going to be a part of a greater scheme to develop transportation and will work its way into the Sonoran Corridor, which is going to increase. We're hoping to increase our trade with Mexico in manufacturing, and she voted against that. Why? I don't know. She worked behind the scenes. We know she lied publicly about her involvement with Worldview. Even at the request bill, and this is a big deal, when the economic development community comes to you and says, hey, we need you to back off this Worldview thing because, you know, it's bad for the other deals that we're trying to get done here, and she wouldn't back off. She denied having involvement with it. We know that that's not true. And so there's a problem with her relationship with the economic community. The Tucson Chamber has endorsed me. They don't hardly ever not endorse an incumbent. They endorsed me, and many in the business community are coming behind my campaign in support because they just don't trust her.
So the attacks on you, and there also were attacks initially when you decided to run about that you weren't even a resident of the district. That comes up.
Sure. At the time I wasn't, and in starting in December, January, my wife and I started looking for a new home because we had another baby coming, and we were living in 800 square feet. Wasn't enough, so we were looking where we wanted to go. My wife at the time was working for the town of Oral Valley, so that's in district for any of you who don't know. And I was working at the university, and it was more of a burden for us to live further from her job than it was for me to live from mine. So. We moved closer to where she was working.
All right, let's go to the live line. David has a question or comment. Go ahead, David.
Hi, David.
John Winchester.
I don't really think Ellen Miller is a problem. I know there's some problems with her, but you know the reason why our roads are falling apart, they're spending hundreds of millions of dollars in building new roads to serve new development, like the Twin Peaks Interchange, Twin Peaks Extension. They've expanded the Under Road Treatment Plant, more than $500 million. They've widen I-10 eight lanes, and they're widening Tangerine Road to four-lane parkway. They're talking about billions of dollars spent to accommodate new development.
That's all right.
Money away from fixing what we already have. The roads are falling apart.
David, I think that creating new roads, widening roads for future development is trying to get ahead of the curve. But we do need a plan for maintaining what we do have. And I'll tell you this, we do not have financially, structurally sound transportation budget to keep pace with the population growth. We're behind it already. We're behind the curve. And we have been for a long, long time. Our population has outgrown our infrastructure. The infrastructure is aged. We need to invest in it, and we have to have a long-term plan to keep pace with our population growth. And so there are road widening, and there are plans, and there are people that speak to that. Some of that's RTA, some of that's Marana, some of the things that you've mentioned. Some of it's federal, like the widening of I-10. And those aren't things that the county particularly has any control over. But we have to be able to come up with another plan. I agree with you. We have to come up with a plan for how we're going to maintain roads in the future for our population.
You have said Ellie Miller facilitates conflict.
Absolutely. I don't think there's any. A lot of people think that want to say, "Oh, poor Allie Miller, she's getting attacked." But as we know from these emails, She has, since the time that she got into office, pursued people at the county. So not only did I think she started the conflict, she has facilitated it. And now I think it has even led to inappropriate action on the part of the county. But that said, she started it. She got into a fight. She's called out all the newspaper people for being as liars, and they proved that they were not. She's accosted them. She's called out the people at the county for being corrupt and all of these other things, most of which she hasn't been able to prove. And so that is a facilitating conflict in a position where she has to work with people to get something done.
John Winchester, running for Pima County Supervisor in District 1. So you've been going door to door. And have you tried to challenge Ellie Miller to sit with you and talk and have a debate?
The Arizona Public Media wanted to do an open forum style meeting, and she wouldn't get back to them on that at all. They contacted me first and asked if I would be willing. I said, absolutely, I'm more than willing. I think we should be airing the problems of the county and having a solid discussion so that we can learn as much as we can from other people and maybe change a little bit. So I'm open, absolutely open to public forum and debate, and she would not get back to them. Her initial response is, I can't do it at the time that you designed. And they said, well, give us a time. They asked me, if you want to, will you come back if she gives us another time? I said, absolutely. And she still won't.
All right. Where can people find out more about the campaign?
Winchester for Supervisor, 4 is spelled out, F-O-R, winchesterforsupervisor.com.
All right, John Winchester, thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
All right, coming up on 12:16 on The Buckmaster Show. We'll be right back.
Hey, this is Ken Flower. We're at this party where the homeowners recently replaced their old inefficient windows and doors with brand new energy efficient Pella products by Enhance Openings. And I tell you, these homeowners, they know what they're doing. They took advantage of our free Pella installation sale. Hey, look who's here. Wow, you're looking great.
John Lewis.
I never saw you so clearly.
Joseph Blair.
I saw you through the new patio door across the way. You look fabulous. And you're asking about the free installation sale? Call 520-886-1602, 520-886-1602 for the free Pella installations by Enhance Openings. My fellow Centurion is here. You're
Bill Hussey.
Bill, don't let the savings pass you by. Call today for our free installation sale, 520-886-1602. Join the Pella party. You got to call 886-1602, enhanceopenings.com. Well, you like the Pella products. Wait until you see the garage.
The Regional Transportation Authority funds new sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bike lanes across the region to enhance our regional mobility and safety. The RTA's 20-year plan also includes roadway improvement projects and expanded transit services to provide added convenience and accessibility. The RTA continues to deliver its promise to you to make our region a better place to live, work, and play. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process. electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, 12:20 on this Thursday afternoon. Our Friday Focus interview tomorrow, Steve Kaye. Councilman Steve Kasachek will be our guest on the Friday Focus interview. The Buckmaster Show thanks one of our fine sponsors, Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Just a three-hour drive to the Gila National Wilderness and visit Silver City's historic downtown with its galleries, antique stores, museums, and restaurants, and of course the world-famous Gila Cliff Dwellings National Monument is just north of Silver City. This is a beautiful time of year over there. The rains have greened up everything in that beautiful portion of the southwestern United States. Great places to stay like Pinos Altos Cabins and Little Toad Creek Inn. Find out more about where to stay and things to do at southwestnewmexico.org. We welcome now to the Buckmaster Show one of my favorite interviews. She loves animals, as do I, animal welfare advocate and chair of the Pima Alliance for Animal Welfare Steering Committee, Barbara Brown. Barbara, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you, Bill?
Doing very well. We wanted to bring you in on the eve of a very important meeting that PAWS, Pima Alliance for Animal Welfare, is having tomorrow. This is kind of a chance for everybody to get together, sit down at the same table, talk about where we are in this area of making lives better for our four-legged friends.
Absolutely. We have a biannual meeting and we invite the community to attend. This year, it's being held, or this time, it's being held at the Pima County Natural Resources Building, 8 o'clock to noon tomorrow. And folks that want to attend are certainly welcome to do so.
That is located at 3500 West River Road, River Road south of Orange Grove. Among the topics will be hearing an update about this Best Friends National Conference. And Barbara, we've talked before about what an important grant the Best Friends organization made to Tucson and Pima County.
Absolutely. Though they made a quiet grant before mm-hmm. they made the big one. Mm-hmm. And they actually sent representatives from Humane Network to do an assessment of the Pima Animal Care Center that was so incredibly helpful in terms of their operations and how they could streamline things and make it better for the public. That was their introduction to us and our introduction to them. And that followed by folks at Pima Animal Care Center putting in an application to be considered for a community cat program. And that is when Best Friends makes a grant to send staff members to do a trap, neuter, return program within a particular geographic area. It's been determined that the feral cats, we call them community cats because everyone needs to take care of them, right? But yeah, when feral cats you know, are out outside, you know, they can get diseases. They can, of course, procreate and have many, many more babies and attack birds and that sort of thing. The technique in the past had been to remove the entire colony. Mm-hmm. Well, what happened is that made a vacuum.
Okay.
And so other cats would just come in. And so suddenly you'd think, oh, it's great, they're gone, but other cats would move right in. Well, by decreasing the population of that colony by spaying and neutering, that then reduces it slowly, and then there's no vacuum. And so then those cats, you know, they don't return to the neighborhood. It takes a while, but the cats are healthier. You know, if you've ever seen cats that are feral, look closely and see if they have one of their ears tipped. That means that cat has been spayed and neutered. And they get their vaccines and all that kind of thing. And what we like to do is identify a person to kind of watch over that colony and to make sure that you know, an animal doesn't wander in that needs to be spayed and neutered, or, you mm-hmm. know, and they get fed and that sort of thing. And it makes a huge difference. So their goal has been 5,000 a year for 3 years. We're in year two, toward the end of year two. We're doing very well. We went over our goal last year, and we're on target to spay neuter more than 5,000 this year as well.
Do we have any idea what the overall population of these community cats might be?
It's very hard, as you can imagine, to do a census. but, you know, 50,000 is not out of the realm of possibility. We even have a couple in my neighborhood, believe it or not, which is out past the Desert Museum. These are tough cats that I've been trying to capture so that I can get them in for spay neuter.
So they are then captured and then they are returned
to
their
same place.
To the same place.
Mm-hmm.
So you say 5,000 so far.
5,000 last year.
Okay.
And then we're in the middle of toward the end of the second year, and we've just about hit that 5,000 goal for the cats that have been spayed and neuter. And then we have another year of the grant, so another 5,000.
But wouldn't it be wonderful to get every one of the community cats
It would be, and here's what's pretty awesome, is that a bequest came in to PAC,
right.
And they have allocated part of it to continue the program for another couple of years.
Good. So if we can get 5,000 a year,
exactly.
We will get there, even if there are as many as 50,000community cats.
But we're making a difference.
Barbara Brown is with us, 790-2040, if you would like to call in. If you have any animal welfare questions, Barbara would love to hear from you. Also, we want to talk about let's talk about the Pima, since we were talking about Pima Animal Care. How are we on the new building?
Well, if you've ever driven by, I mean, in the last little bit, you'll notice that buildings that used to be on the, if you were looking straight at the building, buildings that used to be on the right side are now moved to the left side behind the tent, and, you know, things are shifting all the time. They're getting prep done that needs to happen before they can actually break ground. You know, this is a really tricky project because they have to keep the shelter open during all of this construction. And so it's not just simply, here's a plot of ground, let's put up a shelter. This is, how can we do construction and continue to take care of the animals that are there
and
minimize
the trauma. Discomfort and trauma to the animals.
Exactly.
If anybody's been through a home remodeling project,
it's hard enough on us, right?
It's very, very, very hard. So,
yeah.
So the timetable is what at this point?
Gosh, I think that it's not for another year.
Okay.
That it'll be done. But it's so great to just see movement out there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Our friend Nancy Young Wright, who does so many wonderful things
yep.
out at Pima Animal Care Center. She's a former state lawmaker, and she really, really does a huge service to this community by organizing volunteers to walk dogs out at the shelter. She has asked me to share with our listeners, Barbara, about this Saturday's animal welfare organizations are banding together for an Adopt, Don't Shop celebration. Can you tell us what that is about?
Yeah, and I think one of the outgrowths of Pima Alliance for Animal Welfare has been more cooperation between the organizations. And so Saturday, so we have our big meeting on Friday, and then Saturday everybody's going to participate in this Don't Shop, Adopt celebration. It's a national day mm-hmm. where we're focusing on adoption. And so it's going to be happening at 10 o'clock starting at four different areas. So PAC is going to be participating, the Hermitage, Humane Society, and Pima Paws for Life. So they're going to have discounts. They're going to have food trucks. They're going to have all sorts of really great things going on and a real focus to hope that the community comes out to find their new best friend.
And we'll find our new best friend hopefully very soon, but we're going to take a break right here on the Buckmaster Show. We'll be right back with Barbara Brown as we talk more about animal welfare issues here in the community. If you'd like to join us, 790-2040. Be right back.
I'm Dr. Kevin Lehman. I've got one wife, five kids, two grandchildren, and cockroaches. You know what I did? Smartest call I ever made in my life. I called my friend Shelby Hawkins at Five Star Termite and Pest Control. I was introduced to a guy named Joey. He'd been my technician for 11 years. A great job. Guess what? No more cucarachas.
Five Star Pest Control. We know what bugs you.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in T-U-S. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with businesses they trust. Hi, this is Alan Schultz with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, here to remind you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week. Are you accredited? To apply today, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to start with trust.
Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Friday, we talk with Tucson City Councilman Steve Kasachek. Our Friday roundtable features Tim Steller of The Star and Mari Herreras of The Weekly. Matt Russell hosts Weekend Watch, Buckmaster, noon to 1 on KVOI, Tucson's voice, and live worldwide streaming of our program on my website, buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show Thursday edition. I've got a great idea for you if you're into gardening. Saturday and Sunday, free garden workshops, 10 a.m. each day at Green Things, one of our fine sponsors, 3384 East River Road. What a beautiful location on 13 acres. I mean, even if you're not in the market for something specific, just kind of wandering around the property is a nice destination outing with this beautiful weather we've been having just west of the intersection of Dodge and River, just west of Brandy Fenton Park, greenthingsaz.com. And again, Saturday and Sunday, free gardening workshops, some great tips. Barbara Brown is here. Barbara is the Pima Alliance for Animals Welfare Steering Committee Chair, and the acronym for that, of course, is appropriately PAWS, which is very appropriate, right, Barbara?
Absolutely.
Had a call during the break. The caller did not want to go on the air, but I had a good question. And the question is, Barbara, is there some way for someone to come out to this person's house to help trap cats? The caller has 6. Could you give her some contact information?
Absolutely. So the folks associated with Best Friends, they have vans, vehicles, and when they're contacted, they will make arrangements to come out to your property and set up a trap and then come get those animals and then return them there. So what you'd need to do is call the Pima Animal Care Center, ask for Best Friends, and Stephanie Stryker is the lead person for the team and would be very happy to help you.
Again, so it's Pima Animal Care. Just go to their main number,
ask for Best Friends, and you'll get connected.
Okay. At the meeting tomorrow, the PAWS having their semi-annual community meeting, everyone is invited. It's at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning until noon in the Natural Resource Parks and Recreation Building for Pima County. That's at 3500 West River Road, River Road south of Orange Grove. There will be all sorts of updates, including the Adopt, Love, Adopt Local 2016.
Oh my gosh, we had such fun.
That was the big event.
Yeah, we had such fun down at the Expo Center, and it was April. It seems like a million years
Doesn't
ago.
It, but when we were talking about that.
But yeah. We got more animals adopted than we did the year prior. We had just about every group represented there with animals to be adopted. So it was a great place for you to go meet and greet, talk to people who work with specific breeds. So if you were interested, for example, in a greyhound, mm-hmm. you could go and talk to the folks that rescue the greyhounds, and they can talk about their personalities and kinds of needs that they have. If you were really interested in beagles, you could talk to those folks. And that's the beauty of it, is to really have a chance all in one place for one-stop shopping. And the folks that did adopt that day, they got their first family photo, they got a goodie bag.
Everybody
you know,
came together. We've had so many, and we do have so many different interest areas when it comes to animals in this community. You mentioned greyhounds. Some people are into the beagles. You know, whatever it is, it seems like we have a group that mm-hmm. accommodates mm-hmm. these people, mm-hmm. and we have so many different rescue organizations. I think one of the wonderful things about PAWS, Pima Alliance for Animal Welfare, is to bring these groups together.
Right. You know, just like most nonprofits, you know, you kind of do your thing in your area, and you don't think about other folks that you might be able to network with. And that was certainly the case with the animal welfare groups. They were so busy trying to take care of cats or whatever their area of interest that they didn't have time to reach out to others. So by having these twice a year meetings, people get to meet other folks. They get to network. We bring people together around particular issues and that they may be interested in, and certainly at this big event. And there's been some really great synergies, so that I've heard stories where, you know, one organization ends up getting a lot of food donated and they now reach out to others saying, hey, we've got this extra we'd love to share. You know, those kinds of things are going on. Or someone gets stuck. I've got way too many kittens and I don't have enough fosters to take care of them all. Is there any other group that has a volunteer that can help me out? That's the kind of beautiful thing that's going on. And I think has made a really big difference to our successes.
And if you would like to volunteer, again, we mentioned Nancy Young Wright. She was just mentioning to me on Facebook, she's always looking for volunteers. They need to walk every day, Barbara, a lot of dogs.
Oh, yes. So, there are like 300 to 500 dogs that need to get out and be walked every single day. Mm-hmm. So there's people that walk in the morning. There are folks that are the rough runners, and they take they take out the super energetic dogs, and they run around the lake out there at PAC. There are people who come in and cuddle kitties. So if you're not into, you know, walking a dog, kitties need cuddling. The Humane Society also has a need for volunteers. Both groups have opportunities for kids to come in and read to the animals, which is pretty cool. Cool. You should see those pictures with the kids sitting on a little mat and reading to the dogs. Each one, it's really fabulous. And then the other groups as well. So the Hermitage and Positively Cats, every group has a need for volunteers. So whatever your interest, we can match you up.
And we have really, at Pima Animal Care, the adoption rate has gone up. There's been a huge increase.
Significantly.
Yeah.
From when we first started, you know, it was the live release rate was about 60%. And now we're up to 91. And that's really incredible to have a turnaround happen that quickly. But it shows the commitment on the part of the county, the folks that work there, and the public to make sure that animals find a home.
And when you get to a point where, was it 95% of the community is then considered basically a no-kill community?
Well, it's actually 90.
It's 90.
It's 90, and you're considered a no-kill organization.
Organization.
So what we want to do is we want to be a no-kill community and make sure that in every aspect we hit that 90% or more. And at the Best Friends Conference, Julie Castle, who is the assistant CEO there, challenged the entire country to become no-kill by 2025. Mm-hmm. And, you know, given our success and the success that we've seen in Los Angeles, New York, Utah is on the verge, the entire state, of being no-kill.
Very cool.
We think that we can do this. So, so she threw the gauntlet down, and we're ready to run with it.
And if you're thinking of an adoption, I hope you are. Remember about our older animals.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, this is something very dear to my heart. It's just these are animals, their owner has passed away. The owner may be incapacitated medically, and they deserve another chance.
Absolutely. I mean, can you imagine being with a family for 8 years or so and then suddenly find yourself at the shelter because of some unforeseen circumstances? Mm. You know, we encourage people to plan for these kinds of things, and the Humane Society has a wonderful program for that. So I would definitely encourage you to check that out and prepare, just like when you're doing your will and that sort of thing.
All right.
But, you know, the older animals are just so special. And what's cool about adopting an older animal, they're already housebroken.
Yes.
They already know how to walk on a leash. They won't chew up your furniture.
They pretty much, they know the routine.
Exactly.
Barbara, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Barbara Brown, always a pleasure. The chair of the Pima Alliance for Animal Welfare Steering Committee. And again, 8 in the morning until noon tomorrow morning. Natural Resources, Parks and Recreation County Building, 3500 West River Road. Get an update on everything going on with animal welfare issues in our community. Be right back. Don Luce, the attorney, the counselor, he's in the house. He'll be next.
This year, the Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 10 years of delivering projects across our region. More than 755 multimodal projects help you reach your destinations. By delivering both mobility and economic benefits to communities throughout Pima County, the RTA unquestionably makes a difference in our region. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Traveling is more than just a flight. It's the whole experience. In money saved, in time saved. Almost 60 flights take off every day from Tucson International Airport and announcing the newest destination, New York.
American Airlines, now boarding nonstop to JFK.
Daily nonstop service to New York starts October 7th with connections across the Atlantic and throughout the Northeast. Now, with 18 nonstop destinations from Tucson, you can get there from here. Travel smart. Travel TUS and flytucson.com. It's the way to go.
Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. Dive into the culture section with the latest on the arts. Book reviews from Rebecca Guthrie. What movies are hot or not from Bob Garver. Eric Peters brings his unique point of view with his auto reviews. Check out where you could vacation regardless of the season. It is culture news from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Every year, eager travelers journey to Europe to experience the Yuletide season at its very best. With the glittering backdrop of winter white hilltops and extravagantly decorated cities, get swept up in the enchantment that's in the air. Let's not forget the most magical part of all, Europe's famous Christmas markets, renowned for their festive atmosphere, great food and drink, and handcrafted gifts. Experience the magic of the holidays aboard an Ama Waterways river cruise. Call Bon Voyage Travel to plan your Christmas market cruise and save up to 40%. Bon Voyage Travel, 797-1110.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, pushing now toward 12:48. And I could get used to this weather. I really could. Kind of cooler. Last couple of days have been very nice here. And we had 7 straight days of rain, something that happened only once before since they've been keeping records in Tucson. But let's go now and talk about the law with our legal contributor, Mr. Don Luce. Don, how are you?
I'm great, Bill. Thanks.
Attorney Don Luce of Luce, Brown, and Hobkirk & Associates. They have offices here in Tucson and the Phoenix area. Mr. Luce is the Buckmaster Show legal contributor. We are honored to have him with us. He's one of two dozen contributors to this program on a regular basis. BuckmasterShow.com has the full listing with their bio. He is also the author of two very popular books, Arizona Laws 101, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers and Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know. And, you know, we just had that segment with Barbara Brown talking about older animals. Their owners have passed away, perhaps, or the owners have become incapacitated. And I was thinking about you and estate planning. There is nothing in the world that says when you do your estate planning that you cannot, you can mention the wishes for your animal friends.
Well, what's pretty common, Bill, is for animal owners contemplating this system or process to provide that a person specified in their trust or their will is to receive their pet and a specified sum of money so that their pet can be provided for until the pet's anticipated death. So it's becoming more and more common, mm-hmm. and typically will include a provision in a trust agreement that leaves the pet to a person mm-hmm. together with a sum of money to take care of the pet.
Yeah, it's something we don't usually talk about, Don Luce, when we talk about estate planning and your book about it, but it's to many people, my wife and I included, animal welfare and these animals in our lives are a real important part of our lives.
Well, you make a yes, and you make a good point about not thinking about that necessarily when you're thinking about estate planning. But if you spend any time thinking about it, where is your animal going to go, and who's going to take care of it, and what if it needs medical treatment? Who's going to pay for the food, and how long is your animal likely going to live? Now, those are all things that you can provide for mm-hmm. in your estate planning documents.
So definitely keep that in mind and get that estate planning done. It's a back burner issue for a lot of people, and it needs to move to the front burner. In legal news, this stuff about ballot harvesting, it is a crime now in Arizona. There's been a new legislation that makes ballot harvesting a crime. First of all, Don Luce, what is ballot harvesting?
Ballot harvesting.
How in the world are you going to enforce this? Two huge questions.
So, generally defined, ballot harvesting is the collecting of other people's ballots and mm-hmm. delivering them to the polling place. Mm-hmm. Now, by way of background, the Arizona legislature about 5 years ago attempted to enact a similar version of the current law, which, by the way, is slated to go into effect on Saturday unless the court says otherwise. But anyway, in 2011, the Arizona legislature made it a felony to collect the ballots of others. It's a felony under current law. Under the previous version, which was less onerous, anyone who collected 10 or more early ballots and delivered them to a polling place had to provide photo identification. Now, in 2011, when this legislation was contemplated, Arizona was still required to get federal preclearance from the Department of Justice for any changes to its election laws, because since the early 70s, Arizona was under a court order as a result of what the court found was a history of discrimination against minorities. And so up until just a couple of years ago, any changes to the election laws required preclearance from the DOJ. That has since been repealed, and Arizona is no longer required to get preclearance. Now, fast forward to the present. The Arizona legislature in last session enacted a law which was signed by Governor Ducey that makes it a felony. Okay, so unlike the 2011 law, now it's a felony punishable by a year in state prison for someone to take a voted ballot even if it's in a sealed envelope, and drop it off at a polling place.
Wow.
Now, there are certain exceptions for family members, care workers, election workers, and postal workers, but generally speaking, under this new law, which, as I said, is scheduled to take effect Saturday, it would be a felony for me to take your ballot, assuming I wasn't your caregiver, and I would have no reason to be, mm-hmm. to the polling place and deliver it for the election.
So a neighbor couldn't say, hey, could you take this over for me? If you were not related to that person, you would be in big trouble.
You would be in big trouble. Now, what's interesting, I think, about this lawsuit, which is pending in federal district court right here in Arizona, is that the state and national Democratic parties, as well as the Clinton campaign and others, are the plaintiffs. In other words, they are the parties that brought the lawsuit. Guess who is involved in representing the state against the Democratic claims that this law is invalid? That's right, the Arizona Republican Party. So, yeah. In this election season, we have a case right here in Arizona that essentially pits the two major parties against one another in connection with a law that the Arizona legislature passed and the governor signed that requires that others not deliver ballots to polling places unless they're family members or caregivers or election workers or postal workers. And these two parties are going at it in court to try to get this law thrown out. I don't know what is going to become of the lawsuit, but the federal judge who is hearing this is being asked to issue an injunction to prevent the law from taking effect on Saturday.
Well, and of course, at the heart of this issue is this practice that some civic and community groups have been going around and collecting the early ballots that are sent to the homes of voters, but those voters then have not mailed back the ballots themselves.
Right. And what's really, I think, central to this claim is the contention that it is more common in minority communities to allow someone else to take your ballot to the polls than it is in other communities, and therefore, contrary to the requirements of the Voting Rights Act, the state would essentially be sanctioning a process which would disproportionately impact minorities. And if that is true, then by law, that would be illegal for the state to enact such a law, and this federal court would likely determine that it's unconstitutional and also violative of the Voting Rights Act.
And meanwhile, you have the election directors here in Pima County and in Maricopa County saying there's just no way at this point that they can enforce this.
Right. It's and we saw this in prior voting cycles where laws have been challenged, but because of the timing of the lawsuit, the decision wasn't rendered in enough time to impact the election one way or the other. Mm-hmm. And this may be another example.
Yeah, because early voting has already begun, and then the judge is going, the law is supposed to take effect this Saturday.
Yes, yes.
So, and this will be in litigation, presumably during the early ballot.
That's right. What's being asked for in this lawsuit today is an injunction mm-hmm. to prevent the law from taking effect on Saturday. Now, in order for the plaintiffs in the lawsuit to prevail in their request for an injunction, they have to convince the federal judge that they are likely to prevail after a full-blown trial, which of course would be months or years down the road, and also the judge needs to consider the hardships that allowing the law to take effect will have on voters against the harm to the state if it's placed on hold.
Let's see if we can get Carl's question in real quickly. Hey, Carl.
Hi. Somebody is sure as heck going to take my question the wrong way, but is the Democratic Party basically saying that minorities are too stupid or ignorant to be able to mail a ballot or to find their way to a polling place and drop their ballot off?
They have to have
somebody come down and help them with it? I mean, you know, I find that insulting.
That's a great question, Carl. In response, all I can say is that the attorney who is representing the plaintiff or one of the plaintiffs has in fact cited the what he considers to be a fact that it is more common in minority communities to allow someone else to take the early ballots to the polls than it is in other communities.
All right. It's fascinating. And that all happening during the election season. Don Luce, we'll keep an eye on that. Don Luce of Luce, Brown & Hobkirk & Associates offices here in Tucson and Phoenix. And your books, The Arizona Laws 101, I should have mentioned it when I was introducing you, that is now in its updated version, second printing.
It is. So I wrote Arizona Laws 101, a handbook for non-lawyers, in 2004. It was first published the following year. And several years ago, I updated every chapter of Arizona Laws 101 because, as we discuss on your show every month,
the courts
and the legislature continually change the laws in our
fertile
state.
Fertile ground for someone writing about the laws. Yes.
Or talking about
law. Or talking about it, certainly.
So I updated the book a couple of years ago. Arizona Laws 101 is now in its second printing, and it covers 101 laws that I believe every Arizona resident needs to know.
All right, Don Luce, thank you very much. And
thanks, Bill.
We can get the book on Amazon or locally, some of the bookstores.
It should be available in every retail store.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mike Shaw, Ray Allen, they put together For Tucson at 4, coming up this afternoon from 4 to 5. Wake Up Tucson 6 to 8 in the morning, the Daily Double from 8 to 9, and then me, Bill Buckmaster, I'll be back with you. Our Friday Focus interview tomorrow. Steve Kasachek, Tucson City Councilman. Tim Steller will also be here, columnist for the Arizona Daily Star. Hope you'll join us. Until then, Ray and I wish you a great afternoon and evening.